Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, April 6th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Good show today. Yesterday, the Indiana Pacers became yet another team to beat the Warriors twice in a season. Didn't happen that much last season or the season before, but the Pacers have the Warriors' number this year, beat them by 20. We'll talk about that in the first segment with Miles Johnson, my roommate and good friend, who's also a huge hoops head, and then we'll move on to the New Orleans Pelicans and Phoenix Suns over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, respectively. The Pelicans are reeling right now. They're only 10 games above 500, holding on to that last spot in the playoffs. And the Phoenix Suns, of course, are gunning for that number one overall pick. I appreciate you listening to Locked On Warriors. You can get this podcast wherever podcasts are available. That's iOS, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and at LockedOnWarriors.com and LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. You can also find us on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Locked On NBA Net, as well as on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. I also tweet from Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. That's my personal Twitter account. And you can get in touch with me via email at alikocarter11@gmail.com. In my spare time, I write for Forbes.com at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts. Make sure you check out Aliko Carter on the Forbes Sports Money blog. I'll keep you posted on all my latest stories. Now we want to bring Miles into the studio and see how everything is going on his end. How you doing, Miles?
I'm good. Once again, glad it's Friday. Yes. These weeks are hard.
They are hard. They are hard. Though it is raining cats and dogs out there today, this Friday. And, you know, we're just going to have to deal with it because they say, what, April showers bring May flowers. I think that was more of like an East Coast thing, honestly. And you grew up on the East Coast, so you know a little bit more about that April showers, May flowers phenomenon.
See, to be honest, so I'm from D.C. Our rain, for the most part, got really bad in August, where every August it would just rain every day. We didn't really have the... I mean, I'm, of course, familiar with the April showers bringing May flowers, allegedly, but it's kind of the same.
Allegedly.
Marches in like a lion, out like a lamb. Like, people just say that. I'm not even sure it's necessarily true.
Yeah, what, right.
You know. But, yeah, it's raining a lot outside.
It is. It is. Wintertime and springtime, big times for rain here in Northern California. And, yeah, I guess we appreciate it with the, you know, 6-7 year drought conditions we've been dealing with. A little bit of rain is not such a bad thing as long as it ends before the end of the weekend. That's all I'm really, you know, I just want a little bit of sunshine to end out this weekend so I can start Monday strong. But anyway, just wanted to check in with Miles here, and we're going to talk about the Pacers game because the Warriors just got shellacked in that second half by the Pacers. It was a little hard to watch at some junctions. And I felt, you know, I'll start with Kevin Durant. You know, he was chucking. He was a chucker. They made him into a volume shooter in this game.
God, I wish Kevin Durant was a volume shooter on my team.
That's true. He was a minus 17 in this game, pacing the team, though. Oof. Yeah, not very good. Not very good. 2 of 10 from 3, 8 of 23 from the field. He only went to the line 9 times, making 9. 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and 4 turnovers. Lots of live ball turnovers, lots of passing to the other team. 16 turnovers for the Warriors, and they allowed 18 points off turnovers, but more than that, 25 fast break points and some absolutely shitty fast break and transition defense from the Warriors. I don't think there's anything that the Warriors did better than the Pacers in this game, but 29 points, live ball turnovers, 29 fast break points. The Warriors did not look like they wanted to win this game at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is game 79 for the Warriors. They're now at 57-22, 7 games behind Houston for the number one seed, but they're 9 games ahead of Portland, right? So no matter what happens, like, this is where they're going to be.
Second seed all the way.
Right, this is where they're going to be. Whereas Indiana is a game and a half back of Philadelphia currently, and they play Cleveland tonight. And are only 4 games, again, ahead of Miami. So nothing, you know, is necessarily really going to change either out east, unless maybe Philadelphia loses tonight. And if Philadelphia loses out and Indiana wins out, then those two teams are playing each other still, but then
Indiana
you have home court.
Will have home court. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It is.
That's a really big deal, especially for a team that is potentially going to have to face an angry, broken-faced Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you're thinking that, like, mass Joel Embiid is not going to come into the playoffs like Galactus and literally try to consume everything, like, mm-hmm. you have not been watching the season, right? So you want home court really badly if you're Indiana. Golden State has already locked it up through the Western Conference Finals, and even if they hadn't, I really do think, and this is why, you know, some other people I've talked to have questioned the timing for bringing back guys like Durant and Klay and Steph.
Mm-hmm.
All you really want now, if you're Kerr, I would imagine, are reps for the playoffs.
Yes.
Right? Like, exactly. All you're really trying to do, like, no, and you had him call out the performance against the Pacers as I think he used the word pathetic.
Yeah.
I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I'm pretty sure Kerr used the word pathetic.
That's one of his favorite words when the Warriors aren't playing extremely well.
But I think more than anything else, like, what are you doing? Like, you're trying to see, like, what your limitations are without Steph those first
right.
couple of rounds.
Right.
You're trying to see, like, what your rotations are, especially, like, now that you know... I think now that everyone knows that Quinn Cook
is going to be a part of the playoff
roster. Cassidy
roster.
Probably isn't.
Yeah.
Like, now you're just trying to tinker with lineups and try to see, like, what works the last couple games.
Right, and some good minutes for Damian Jones. Again, some nice moves. You know, a few defensive lapses and a few offensive just, like, oh, the ball's there and I'm here and I should have been there moments. But great minutes from Damian Jones overall. I thought Klay Thompson played some really good minutes, not necessarily defensively, but 4 of 9 from 3 and 7 rebounds. Pacing the team was really important. The Warriors were nearly dangerously out-rebounded, 39 rebounds to 47 for the Pacers. And like I said, I just don't really see anything that the Warriors did that was better than the Pacers. And like you said, the reality is that the Warriors aren't playing for anything but pride. You know, and maybe, like, why not...
And even then, like...
Why not play for 60 wins, though? Like, why not, like, just
because,
go for it?
Let me ask you very genuinely, and I do not mean this as shade at all. The difference between 59 wins and 60 wins is what?
It's nothing.
It's nothing, right?
It's,
it doesn't mean
it's
anything.
It's nothing, but it's symbolic. Four straight,
like,
seasons
even,
of 60 wins.
Even the what was it? I think it was, this would have been the 19th season the Spurs won at least 50 games, but they didn't, right? And nobody's going to sit here and be like, oh, well, you know, like...
The Spurs are over.
Right, like, that's just not... And kind of similar to the way that people... who criticize giving Russ the MVP over Harden will say, what's the difference between, like, 0.4 rebounds? Like, what's the difference between 9.6 rebounds and 10 rebounds? To me, like, you have a better argument there because that's the difference. It's 0.4 rebounds, right? One is you got a triple-double, and one is you did not get a triple-double. Now, look, whether you think functionally, like, whether that lends to, like, team success, I'm not saying that they're correlative all necessarily, right? But if one dude is the first person since Oscar Robertson to average a triple-double and the other person isn't, that's the difference.
Yeah.
This is the difference between the Warriors winning potentially 57 games right now and winning, what, now you can only win 59 or... No,
60.
No, 60, right?
60.
In between 57 and 60 games, right? If you win 60 games and then y'all get knocked out in the first round by Minnesota, like, nobody's going to look back on this season and be like, well, you know, at least we won 68, right? Like, that's not what it is.
That's true. But let's not talk about getting knocked out in the first round. Those are things that I don't want to think about or hear.
Right now, y'all are slated to play New Orleans, which I think, honestly, I think the biggest part of the Warriors season until the playoffs start is making sure, and you can't do anything about it, but making sure that New Orleans holds on to the seventh seed.
Yeah.
Because if Minnesota gets that seventh seed, I'm not saying that y'all should panic, right? But in terms of the matchup, yeah, it is a much worse matchup to have to play the Wolves than it is to have to play the Pelicans.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that. In my previous segments, I thought that the Thunder would be a tough matchup, a little bit tougher than the Minnesota Timberwolves. But the Timberwolves, I don't think the Timberwolves could beat the Warriors 4 out of 7 times. I just, like, they have a better chance of doing it than New Orleans does, but I think Oklahoma City has the best chance.
And why do you think they have the best chance?
Because they're gamblers, and all they need is for 4 games to really go their way as far as, like, gambling with the Warriors, with the way that the Warriors play. Are they going to run with the Warriors? Are they going to gamble in the passing lanes? Are the Warriors going to turn the ball over? Like, it's... And then, of course, rebounding, which is absolutely huge, especially offensive rebounding. I think that the Warriors definitely have an Achilles heel as far as rebounding the ball. And it's more important for them to rebound the ball even than to not turn the ball over. It's just, if they're not rebounding the ball, then a team like the Thunder are just going to pick them apart with offensive rebounds and open threes. So that is definitely something I would like to avoid. But we'll get to the New Orleans Pelicans in the second segment. We're also going to talk about the Phoenix Suns in the second segment. Before going around the NBA in the third, you're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And we're back, and we're talking New Orleans Pelicans, who are not doing extremely well right now. They're 10 games over 500. Let me see if I can pull up these standings really quickly.
44 and 34, seventh in the West, half a game up on Minnesota and half a game back on Oklahoma, okay. As they are also on San Antonio. The West is like between the third seed, which is Portland, mm-hmm. who's already locked up a spot, yep. and they're the last West team who have locked up a spot, that which tells you a lot, right?
It does.
Between Portland at third and all the way to Denver at ninth, yeah. the separation is 4 games.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, and Minnesota could easily fall out of the playoffs and miss the playoffs for the 14th straight year, the longest active streak in the NBA right now, and that would be really sad for me. I mean, like, Denver's a fun, exciting team, but I really want Minnesota to make the playoffs. I like the playoffs as they're constituted right now with the 8 teams that are in and Denver and the Clippers being out, and I just hope that it works out that way. No offense to Denver fans.
Because
no.
Denver's good.
Like, Denver is good.
Denver, I don't usually watch the Western Conference because I'm so busy watching the Wizards flounder in the East, but the games that I've watched, the Nuggets, I still think Jokic needs to get significantly better defensively, and I think there are other issues that they might need to address personnel-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, but Denver's fun.
They are fun.
Those guys, Murray and Gary Harris, those dudes are killers.
Yeah, and then, of course, Paul Millsap really kind of earning his money. So
And Millsap has been like that. Certainly, he was like that in Atlanta. He's really been a reliable, like, 15-10 guy since Utah, right?
Yeah, since Utah.
And they don't get a lot of shine, Denver. It's a small market team. They don't play, like, a ton of nationally televised games. I would love to see Denver in the playoffs because I think a lot of people would key in on that team can ball. They can
over which team would you rather see?
I mean, honestly, I thought San Antonio should have been tanking.
That's a big one. Like, no Kawhi Leonard, I'd rather see Denver over San Antonio.
Let me be clear though, because I've said on this show before, like, playoff Spurs are a different thing entirely. If I'm RC Buford personally, I am much more interested on. One, making sure that Kawhi Leonard has whatever it is that he wants, right? That to make him as happy as possible. Mm-hmm. And then also, if he's not going to come back this year. And honestly, I don't know. Like, that and the Fultz story have been two of the weirder kind of narratives this season as far as injuries have been concerned. Because
Fultz came back, right?
Yeah, Fultz has been back. But I'm saying the way that we waited the first, like, 60 games of the year to know even what was wrong with him. That kind of shrouded in mystery type feel we also got with the Spurs, but somebody knew, like, what was going on. And to me, like, if you knew that he wasn't going to come back, it doesn't make any sense for them to really push for, I mean, now they're going to most likely get the 5th seed, so they're not going to have home court anyway.
Yeah.
They're going up against a Utah team that, I mean, I don't know. Like, Rudy Gobert has a very legitimate Defensive Player of the Year candidacy, I think you could argue for. Donovan Mitchell has a very... He's not going to win it because Ben Simmons exists, but he has a very legitimate Rookie of the Year candidacy. Utah's really good, right? Yeah, like, all these teams out west, like, really
Joe Ingles,
like,
very nearly leading the league in three-point percentage. You've got Ricky Rubio, like, finding a new gear, honestly, and shooting the ball pretty well. There's a lot of good players on that team.
And if you haven't gotten a chance to watch Donovan Mitchell, like, this year, like, please don't make that mistake next year. I mean, he can ball.
Flat out baller.
He can hoop. Yeah. And if you're looking, like, two guys that, when the game is on the line, like, take the possessions into their hands, like, have the offense really run through them, like, that's that guy. And he's a rookie, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that they've even gotten home court the fact that they, you know, went on that, what, ridiculous, like, 14-game win streak, all led by this rookie who can fill it up both from outside. Nobody can stay in front of him.
No.
He's got a nice jump shot, like, and this is his first year, right?
And he's got court vision.
So I don't get San Antonio fighting so hard to run into that type of situation when you could just do what they've been doing for the last, like, 10 years, which is, like, really selectively, like, rest people. I'm not going to sit here and say they throw games, but, like, you know, if you rest half of your starters, that there is some intentionality behind that.
Yeah.
Increase that draft stock that you have. Mm-hmm. And even if Kawhi is not coming back, now you have this really valuable piece in the upcoming draft, a draft that we know is already going to be pretty loaded, right? Like, even if you're just talking about Ayton from Arizona and this Luka Doncic kid that everybody is so excited Luka about Doncic. EuroLeague. Like, even if you're just talking about those guys, this is one of the more loaded drafts we've seen in a long time. And now you have Kawhi, if he's not coming back, and this, like, you know, appetizing kind of draft pick. What's the end game here?
Like, yeah. The end game is getting you know, swept out in the second round of the playoffs, I guess. But, you know, it's...
Which, you know, if you want to talk about the Wizards, it's the same thing, but way worse, because we don't even have Kawhi Leonard to fall back on.
Right.
We don't even have the potentiality of a transcendent superstar to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're sitting at seventh in the East, not even, you know, in those kind of four or five spot that we had kind of been straddling a lot of the, you know, second half of the season. Wizards have fought all this to be seventh and have spent all of this money on a team that, like, really easily could get swept in the first round, right? Like, well, if they draw Boston, that is the best situation because of the Kyrie Irving injury.
Yes, and we're all very sad, a little bit, to hear about Kyrie having to get those screws removed for 4 to 5 months.
Somebody asked me if I was glad about the injury. I'm never glad that somebody is injured. I would very much rather John Wall just beat up on him four games out of the series, right? Exactly. Like, I'm never glad. And this is me, somebody who, I'm not even the biggest Kyrie fan. I'm not glad anybody is hurt, like, as a person, right?
Right.
But, oh, man, the Wizards, like, when Wall goes out, all you gotta do, not even every game, every other game, like, give Beal the night off.
Yeah.
Every, like, third or fourth game, give Beal the night off. You know what I mean? Like, it's no point in fighting and kicking and scrounging. And, you know, if either Cleveland, like, finds a way to, I don't know if that's even, if they can even do that. I don't think they can do it to move up to second. But there was a situation, too, at which, and this is what it is. If Miami loses enough games and we, like, win out, then you got to play LeBron in the first round again.
Right.
All of you who were alive between the years, like, 2004 and 2009 know that it is a terrible idea. It is the worst idea to have the Wizards play the Cavaliers with LeBron James on the team in the first round. He's not losing. It's not happening. There is no situation. You could time travel and bring me Wilt and Jerry West and Jordan and Magic, and they're still not beating LeBron in the first round. It's just not happening, right? Yeah. So you fight and you kick and you do all this to get seventh in the East? Like, why?
Yeah. Well, so, hey, like, if they can hang on to that seventh spot and play Boston in the first round, great chance.
Then you got to play the winner of Cleveland, Miami in the second round, right? The ceiling for this team is the second round. And we've known this for a really long time. So to me, like, when Wall goes down, instead of being like, hey, let's hold on to this. I mean, because look, this is not even like the Hornets, right? If the Hornets made the second round and lost to the Cavs, I'm like, five or six games, I think a lot of Hornets fans would be like, this is a great season, right? This is a team that has perpetually been around, like, ninth, tenth, right?
It's forward progress, but we're not seeing forward progress from the Washington Wizards.
The Wizards have made the second round, like, every time they've been in the playoffs for the last, like, 2 or 3 years, right? Like, who cares?
Yeah. And same with the Toronto Raptors, but what we're seeing with the Raptors is a resurgence and, like, a potential ability to overcome their playoff woes at home.
Well, and the Raptors are Rockets East, right? Because they run the table from November until April, and they forget how to play basketball after April, right?
Well, we'll see. The Rockets East and the Rockets West have a chance to prove themselves in the playoffs. But let's talk about these New Orleans Pelicans, who are coming off of a win after losing four straight, and they are seventh in the West. They're currently matched up with the Warriors, and the Warriors will play them on Saturday in the third-to-last game. Well, it's first-to-last, like, that's supposed to be this.
I think that's just last.
That's just last. Okay. Yeah, so the third to last game. And Anthony Davis coming in with, you know, incredible numbers, obviously, averaging 28 points a game on 19 shots with double-digit rebounds. And, you know, I'm always surprised because, you know, I guess it's more of a Boogie stat than it is an Anthony Davis stat, but only 2.3 assists per game. I would have thought that he would be averaging more assists per game. But I definitely want to take a look at the filter and see, since Boogie went down in February, how many assists per game he's averaging. But also, 4 stocks, steals plus blocks, pretty incredible.
I want it, and I'm sure it's already being calculated by teams, and I'm sure a lot of sports writers even have it. I wish there was a way to really easily track, or that we would at least get into the habit of tracking what are sometimes referred to as hockey assists, which is the pass before the pass that's logged as an assist.
Right.
I'm not sure how that would change Davis's numbers specifically.
I think hockey assists are searchable as a stat on NBA Advanced Stats. I think.
Are they?
I think I've done it before, but I can't remember
how, I believe how you. To it get could there. Be something that I just am not super familiar with. All I say is to say sometimes we look at like low numbers and don't get the entire picture. Right?
True.
And it wouldn't surprise me if, especially like you said, after the Boogie injury, whether you don't have as much opportunity to really create assists because defenses are keying in on Davis more than they perhaps would have been able to with him and Cousins on the floor at the same time.
Right, right. And I'm looking at these numbers. Since the All-Star break, Jrue Holiday averaging 7 assists, Rajon Rondo averaging 9.7, and the team as a whole is averaging 26.6. So there's plenty of passing happening, even though Anthony Davis isn't the main. You know, obviously, Davis is going to be the beneficiary of a ton of assists from these guys. But Jrue Holiday also averaging 20 points a game, 30 points for Anthony Davis since the All-Star break. Etwan Moore having some good games, as well as Nikola Mirotic, a good mid-season pickup for the Pelicans. And also Ian Clark, former Warrior. We love Ian Clark. We love that he's thriving out there. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to continue our conversation after this break. And we're back. And also, Emeka Okafor, 20 games since the All-Star break. And making stuff happen. I just love that pickup. It just makes me really, really happy, honestly. DeAndre Liggins has been playing some good minutes for the Pelicans as well. But
and I don't know what his stats post All-Star break it looked like, but Darius Miller has also been a guy that's been really good for this team off the bench. Second, I believe, after Etwan Moore in 3-point percentage on a team. Just over, I want to say, 40%?
37 since the All-Star break, apparently. And Etwan Moore shooting 41.3 since the All-Star break. Jrue Holiday shooting well since the All-Star break at 38% as well.
So both of those guys post All-Star break averages are a little lower than
than their full season.
Right, exactly.
But still killing it. I mean, 3.6 attempts for Jrue Holiday and 4.2 attempts for Miller. Nikola Mirotic not shooting very well at all, but taking the shots and keeping the defenses honest is going to be extremely important anyway. But this team is a good rebounding team. It's a good assisting team. And they're fighting for their playoff lives. So yet another team that is fighting for its playoff lives, and the Warriors like can play spoiler if they want to, or they can, you know, play like assholes if they want to.
I mean, really, and this is what's hard for y'all, is it really does come down to things that are largely outside of your control, right? I mean, this is if you're the Warriors, I would want this team instead of Minnesota. They're number one in pace, right? Which would be fine, except that they're 29th in defense. So if you're going to play really fast and you're going to play the Warriors really fast and you're also not going to defend, you're not going to win.
Right.
Right, just off rip. I don't even have to look at the tape. Like, you're not going to win. Right, so this is the team that the Warriors want. You could beat them tonight, but you run the risk again of having that Minnesota flip happen.
Yeah.
You could lose, right? But you also, again, you're depending on things that you are largely out of your control, so you got to just go out and continue to do what I think they do. And play.
Yeah.
And, I'm not even certain that they're playing to win at this point as much as they're just like, these are the two, maybe three teams that we think that maybe they're going to have to start, scouting for Denver, that they think they might play in the first round. Let's
just try some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. And like you said, they're not in control of the situation, but like you also said, reps are the most important thing. And I just want to see this team play well consistently for the next three games. They played like assholes against the Pacers, but played very well against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday, a game that I didn't really get a chance to talk about because of some technical and sound difficulties this week, but played extremely good defense against the Oklahoma City Thunder and didn't turn the ball over. And I think that was just like the key to beating that particular team is just like defending at a high rate and making sure that you don't give them easy shots at the basket. But against the Pacers, just all of that went out the window. And so what I want to see from the last three games, win or lose, is good defense, low turnovers, rebounding as a team, and just seeing what our center by committee can really bring us.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know what y'all's bench is looking like either, but seeing like someone other than Quinn Cook like step up and be like, okay, this is maybe somebody who could
keep hopefully the afloat. Warriors will be getting Andre back. Quick mention: Patrick McCaw, very sad to hear. He'll be out, I believe, for the rest of the playoffs.
I would imagine.
So, yeah, so that's too bad for Pat. But hopefully we'll be able to rehab and come back next season stronger. But hopefully Andre Iguodala comes back. He's definitely a bellwether as far as stability.
Oh, he is, if not the glue guy, certainly one of y'all's most important glue guys, right? I mean, and the fact that he has struggled this year, I think, maybe is not totally outside of the realm of, like, why y'all have not been as good as y'all were last year.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not Durant, he's not Curry, but Iggy's a really important part of the whole system.
So there is, it's a really interesting, there's things that are going around right now, like Steve Kerr, like, because the Warriors have regressed this year, it's Steve Kerr's fault. And I'm just like, I don't think so. One, injuries are real. Two, this is a veteran team, and you can't blame the coach for regression when you're not playing. Like, you're playing guys who have been in the league for 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, 13 years. And, you know, the regression, I think, for me is it's fatigue. It's going to the finals 4 years in a row, and it's injuries, and it's mental fatigue. And that's the one place where I think a coach can really help with that. But Steve Kerr's been doing everything he can to do that. I mean, like, he's backing off to allow the Warriors the mental space to be able to tackle this monumental, endeavor that they're trying to do. So it's just like, oh, Steph Curry, do you want to celebrate for your 30th birthday? Yeah, let's do it. Let's give these players some time off. A couple of years ago, they were like, let's let them go to Augusta, to the Masters. Like, you have to, when you're playing basketball 8 months a year and going to the finals, you have to have those pressure valves that allow for the players to just be human. And I think that Kerr has done a really good job this year of taking the pressure off the team, but there's just a lot of extenuating circumstances that, you know, have led the Warriors to only 57 wins this year after. Yeah, only 57.
Something I really very genuinely want to happen within, like, basketball media is as dynasties begin to shift, something that should be made to happen is, like, the people who've been covering the Warriors the last 4 years should be, like, made to go cover the Knicks now. Or, like, should be made to go cover, like, the Pistons now. And people who have actually been watching, like, teams not be good should be allowed to now cover, like, the Rockets or the Warriors or, like, the Celtics or whatever.
If only that was the way it actually worked.
Regression. Regression from a team that still has a chance to win 60 games. Regression. Blaming the guy who's delivered, what, two titles and about to be
and
four.
A 73-win season. Well,
regression? Get out of here. I mean, if this team only wins 57 games and makes the finals again, it will literally be a better season than anything the Wizards have produced since, like, what, 1975? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I would kill to have 10 fewer wins than y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like,
wait, where are the Wizards right now?
42 and 37.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
So we're not even going to get there. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. 10 fewer wins is literally outside the realm of possibility for the Wizards.
Yeah.
And that's with Durant and Curry kind of switching off, being really injured all year.
Yes. And then, of course, Klay Thompson.
And then Klay broke his thumb. And even throughout all that, they still might win 60 games. And you're saying people have been
Complaining about Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all should really have to go watch the Nets play. Go watch the Magic.
No, I love
Kenny. And I'm gonna take that back because the Nets and
Kenny Atkinson. I love Kenny Atkinson.
The coach,
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie. I always want to call him Pondexter because it sounds something yeah. like that,
yes,
but it's
yes.
different. It's not
yes,
Quincy Pondexter.
Same idea.
Spencer Dinwiddie. Yeah. I'm gonna take that back for the Nets. Go and watch like the Hawks. Go and watch like the Magic. Who even the Magic? I think. I read
or the Suns who were playing on Sunday, and we
Suns.
Should talk about for a few seconds.
So
before
I can actually see what bad basketball was like. This
yes.
is not it.
So the Warriors played the Suns last weekend, waxed that booty, and have a chance to do it again on Sunday. And that's where we're gonna have to end this show. Enjoy.
Suns might have the best season out of any other teams that like aren't the Rockets this year.
Because they're going to get the number one overall. Because
they're going to get DeAndre. They're going to have DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker on the same team. And it didn't really cost. I mean, like, yeah, they were bad. They were 20 and 59. But nobody was like, oh, this is like a perennially like embarrassing team. Or nobody was like, this is
no.
a historically
well, they, that's not how they. That's not
team.
How they do in the Valley of the Sun. Like, they just appreciate their Suns team. You
they
know?
And got great minutes out of Josh Jackson. I think
oh, Josh Jackson.
Developed
crazy.
This year.
Tyus Jones.
I think you could. You know what? I might, you know. I, keep it close to the vest so as to not spoil potential writing opportunities or whatever. But I think maybe you could make a case that Phoenix had one of the better seasons for a team that's about to finish 20 and
yeah,
62.
In the last, yeah, definitely, definitely. And hopefully the Warriors will be able to get that game and help Phoenix reach their promised land while also inching closer to that 60-win plateau, which I still care about, Miles.
Right.
It's a...
Look,
it's,
I care about it too. Some of us just, we care about it and it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, it's a symbolic thing. But anyway, that's about as much time as we have for today. Appreciate you, Miles, for joining me. Are there any shout-outs you want to make before you leave?
I don't have any shout-outs. I just want everybody to have a good weekend.
All right. I hope everybody has a good weekend, too. Enjoy the games against the Pelicans and the Suns over the weekend. And stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.